want to invite you this morning to come. Come to the empty tomb. Come and meet a group of women who are going to a tomb expecting to find a dead man. These were just ordinary, simple women. They had witnessed Jesus die 3 days earlier, seen him put on a cross, watched the soldiers pierce his side, and the blood and the water pour out. They had seen him wrapped in cloth, carried to the tomb, the stone rolled in front of it. And they were going there that Sunday morning, expecting to find nothing magnificent. They went there expecting to find a dead man laying in a tomb who needed a proper burial. That is what they expected. The scripture tells us that they brought spices that morning that they might anoint Jesus' body and give him the burial that he needed. Normal people going to a tomb. Come to the empty tomb and see the one for whom all nature quakes and groans. We're told that the earth shook that morning. It also shook the day he died. We're told in scriptures that whenever God showed up, the earth quaked and fire came forth and winds ravaged the world. Think about the time when God met with Elijah. We're told that a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And we're told that after the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after that, a fire, but he wasn't there. And then he was in the still, small voice. The earth shook that morning. Why? As the psalmist says, "Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord." The risen Lord of all creation had come back. He had been gone for 3 days, and he had come back into earth's presence. And the earth shook. Psalmist goes on to declare that God's lightning lights up the world. The one who was the light of the world was coming back. His light had not been extinguished. Come to the empty tomb and see the angel whose presence terrified hardened soldiers. Roman soldiers, men who had fought valiantly, had conquered nations, who nothing would terrify them, but in the presence of an emissary of God, lay as quaking dead men. Come to the tomb, the empty tomb, and see that stone that's been rolled away. Come and see the seal that's been broken. A seal that declared to all the world, if you tamper with this tomb, the wrath of Rome will be poured out upon you. But now that stone lies rolled away. And that seal is broken as a declaration that Christ has triumphed over every human government. And there is no sphere in the world in which they can control him or punish him. He rules. Come and see the empty tomb and the angel sitting on that rock. I can just picture him kind of reclining in a lazy boy chair. You know, just hanging there, sitting there saying, "Hey, I got some good things to tell you. Who wants to come and hear?" Listen to what he says. "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I have come to help you and not harm you." A common statement whenever angels show up because they're so terrifying. "Do not be afraid, for something magnificent has happened. Something wonderful has happened that will drive away all fear from you for the rest of your life. Do not be afraid, because sin's been paid for. The Passover lamb has been slain, but he lives again." C.S. Lewis was on to something when he had Aslan die and come back. But he had a wonderful image of the lamb slain and the lamb risen, right? The lion slain and the lion risen. "Do not be afraid, for Christ has borne God's wrath for you. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more will be saved from the wrath of God?" And a people who lived in fear all the time. Do not be afraid, this angel says as he sits there. Come to the empty tomb and hear these words. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. As David said, you will not abandon me to the grave. You won't let your Holy One see decay. Life flows in him and through him and from him. For he himself says, I am the resurrection and the life. Come to the empty tomb and hear the echoes of Jesus' teaching. For as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Or, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And they'll condemn him to death, and they'll turn him over to the Gentiles, and he'll be mocked, and he'll be flogged, and he'll be crucified, and on the third day, he'll be raised to life. Jesus said, come to the empty tomb and hear the only one in all creation who predicted the day of his death and the day of his resurrection. There's none like him. Sure, there were people that had been raised at different points in life. The scripture's full of them. People that Jesus had touched, people that the prophets had touched, but none of them ever declared, this is the day I will die and this is the day I will rise from the grave. He's unique. Come to the empty tomb and hear from the one who says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Come to the empty tomb and hear from the one who declares, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Come to the empty tomb and stand in awe. Stand in awe of the one who conquered death and rose from the grave and who invites you to experience his resurrection life. And if as you come, you see that empty tomb, then embrace Jesus. Embrace him. If he's appeared to you, if he's dispelled your unbelief or your questions, then embrace him. Suddenly Jesus met with these women who came to the empty tomb, and what did they do? They fell at his feet and they clasped onto him. They grabbed him. They embraced him. Embrace the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For that's what's written on his thigh and upon his robe, according to Revelation. Embrace the one who graciously and compassionately revealed himself to clueless women a long time ago, who really are a picture of us, unbelieving, doubting people. And he showed up and revealed himself to them. Grab onto him. Know him. Know that he's grabbing on to you, that he's reaching out to you. Embrace him with your heart and embrace him with your soul and with your mind and your strength. With all you have, grab on to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Clasping his feet was more than just a, oh, it's so nice to see you. This was a declaration that he was not just Savior, but he was Lord and King and mighty ruler, the one who had done something unfathomable. Embrace Christ as Lord, for there is no other power, no other king, no other authority that can stand up to him. Life's full of people who try. The scripture's full of testimonies of those who would like to stand up to Christ, but in every occasion, they're smited at the end of the story. The devils and the demons and the worldly governments and people that want to rebel against the authority of Christ, they're all smited. Embrace. Embrace Jesus. Embrace the living God. For there is nothing too worthy of embracing in any of the hollow powers of this world. Embrace him as Lord. Joyfully receive him. Never let him go. Embrace him and see how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ for you. Embrace him as the one who has the right to demand and declare how you will live and the kind of allegiance you will give. The one who will reshape your values and completely alter the way you live life. Embrace him. Embrace the one who says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Embrace all of Jesus' suffering and his crucifixion, knowing that it is your tangible ticket into the presence of God. Embrace his truth and his righteousness and his holiness as your truth and your righteousness and your holiness. Embrace the one who says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Embrace the one who calls all humanity to repent and to believe that the kingdom of heaven is here, that it's come. Embrace the one who alone can save you from yourself, who can cover over your multitude of sins, and who can give you newness of life forever and ever and ever. And as you come to that empty tomb, if you embrace Jesus, then worship him. Worship, because that's what it says the ladies did next, right? They fell at his feet and they worshiped. Ascribe to him honor and glory and value and ultimateness and proclaim how wonderful he is. See, that's all worship really is. Our response to who God is. He's merciful. We worship. He's provider. We worship in thanks. He's good. We worship in awe. He's holy. We worship in wonder. Declare back to him who he is. Like, come to the empty tomb with me again. And what words do you hear those ladies saying? Scripture doesn't give us any words. But what words do you imagine they said that morning as they clasped onto his feet? I don't think they were silent. And if you'll indulge me a little bit of poetic license, I think you would have heard things like this. I love you. You're alive. You conquered. How did you do it? Don't ever leave me again, Jesus. Thank you. I think you would have heard things like that and countless other things from the lip of those women as they proclaimed back to Jesus who he was to them and what they yearned for from him and how amazing he was. Those are all words of worship. So what words would you want to describe or shout to God this morning? What words would you want to say to Jesus if you were at the cross, laying there, grabbing onto his feet after he had risen, and you remembered what had happened on Friday, and you saw the empty tomb? What would you declare? My God, my God. Worship's also listening to what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. Come to the empty tomb and hear his words to the women. Do not be afraid. Similar to what the angel said, but I think with a different nuance of what he's trying to proclaim to them. Right? Don't be afraid. I am not your enemy, but I'm your friend. You're my brothers and my sisters and my mothers. You're family to me. You're co-heirs with me in the glorious kingdom that my Father has granted to me. Don't be afraid. Come. There was no let go of me. What are you doing? Get off of me, women. There was no, like, give me some space. It was welcome. Don't be afraid. Grab onto me. I'm real. I'm alive. I'm not a ghost. I'm not here to terrify you. I'm here to bring life. Worship. hear what he says to you. Worship. Don't be afraid of the King of Kings. He welcomes you if you come through Christ. See, the next time we hear those words on the lips of Jesus is when he talks to Paul as he's in Corinth. And he says, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent, for I am with you and no one's going to attack you or harm you. And then he says those words again to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, but now I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Don't be afraid. Words of comfort, words of supremacy. He also says, go and tell my disciples. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. Go. A part of worship is going, is hearing these words of Jesus and saying, this story is too good to keep to myself. It's a story that has to be declared. People have to hear. Go and tell my brothers. Tell these disciples about what you have seen at the empty tomb, about who you've met, and tell them to go. Because we know as the story plays out in just a few more verses, at the end of this, the disciples go, Jesus ascends and he says, all authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples. And in the next book, in the book of Acts, we find out that the Holy Spirit is sent down and they're empowered. And what do they do when they're empowered? They go! Just like the little ladies went and told them. They go forth telling the story. That's part of worship. Listen to the last thing Jesus says to them. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. There they will see me. This is a promise Jesus is giving them of his continuing work. Work in the world, that he's not leaving the world. He's just going to meet with them in a different place to prepare them and empower them and get ready to send them out. Right, there they will see me. The risen Lord of creation is still active in his world. Then, as he is now, come to the empty tomb. Embrace the Lord of creation and worship him so that you can go and tell others of the wonderful news of what Jesus has done for you and the wonderful ways that Jesus is still at work in your life. That's the wonder of Resurrection Sunday. It's the wonder of the cross. Not that he showed up as an image and as a ghost, but that he showed up literally as one who was dead and is alive and who conquered the grave. So will you come? Will you embrace? Will you worship? Now there may be some of you but this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel story. And if that's you, we want to invite you to receive that story, to embrace Jesus and say, I want more of that kind of life. I want fear dispelled and I want life. And if that's you, then know that Jesus is offering himself to you. And there may be some of you that have heard that story 1,000 times and it's just kind of old hat. I invite you to hear it anew again and say, wait, God wants to do something different. He wants to continue a work that he began. When I was confirmed in the church, that didn't stop my growth in Christ's likeness. It was the beginning. And he wants to continue leading you on to newness and holiness and wonder. And there may be some of you who are like, I just love that story. It is the best story in the world. Bring more of it on, Jesus. All of those are acceptable responses. The only response that's not an acceptable response is to come to the empty tomb and say, forget that. It doesn't matter. That is the one response that will bring eternal judgment. And that's not what Christ wants to do. He came into the world that he might save sinners, of which you and I are the greatest. So let's pray. Holy Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he's come in to life. He continues to live and work and move and shape this world. That he touches hearts and he grants repentance. And he brings and welcomes us into the presence of the Father, who we would be terrified to go into if it weren't for Jesus ushering us in. O Holy Father, continue your work in our life to transform us and make us his body in the world. But if that's you this morning that wants to receive Jesus for the first time, then we invite you. Just raise your hand and say, I want more Jesus. Nobody else is looking. We just want to pray particularly for you. And if you're here and you're one of those people who's heard the story a million times and you just want more Jesus, you want him to continue the work that he's begun, either because you've become complacent or because you just love the work he's already doing and you want more of it. If that's you, then we just invite you to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life more powerfully and more fully. Oh, Holy God, thank you for a story that's worth telling 1,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000,000 times. We pray, Father, as we come to communion, that you would continue working in our heart, that you would allow joy to well up within us, that we would receive the bread and the cup truly as your body and as your blood, body given for us, blood that cleanses us. Let us rejoice, for we lift up our hearts to the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.